Our next attribute is machrio l'kaf zchus. And many of the mefarshim here in Perkei Avos understand this in light of the very similar sounding and similarly worded character trait that's mentioned famously in the first Mishnah, excuse me, in the first Perek of Perkei Avos, Perek Aleph Mishnah Vav, where we say there, Hevi danas kol ha'adam l'kaf zchus, that you should judge a person favorably. So it's no surprise that Rashi here, as well as the Tiferes Yisrael in one of his interpretations, and the Machzer Vitri, all explain that that is one of the midos here of the Kinyan Torah. That's what's being mentioned here in our Brisa. Just to have one quote from the Machzer Vitri, "B'makom shishlahatos hadavar lizchut or lechova," when you could go either way, machrio l'kafschus, give the person the benefit of the doubt, assume the person did something correctly and not incorrectly. If one turns your attention to that Mishnah in Perek Aleph of Perkei Avos, there, all of the major Mefarshim, the Bar Tanura, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rambam, the Parashah Mishnayos, all explain that we're talking about a situation in which, if there's two equally plausible possibilities, and we don't know if the person is a tzaddik or a rasha, then it's a midas chasidus to give the person the benefit of the doubt. However, they explain, if a person is a tzaddik, then it's not just a midas chasidus, but an absolute obligation to give the person the benefit of the doubt, based on the pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Yutes, pasuk Tetzvav, Vatzedek Tishpot Amisecha, the Gemara in Shavuos, Daf Lamed, says that is the source for the idea of being dan l'kaf zchus. Another difference between a tzaddik and someone who you don't know their status or a beinoni is that you must judge a tzaddik favorably, even if that requires a far-fetched interpretation or explanation. Whereas here, we're doing something only, as I mentioned, if there's two equally plausible possibilities. And actually, if you note the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yotes Amar Aleph, actually, if you have a tzaddik, you have to judge him favorably, even when there's no possibility of interpreting his action in an innocent way. Not that you're just going to assume even in a very roundabout way that he didn't sin, even if it's impossible to assume that. There the Gemara says, even in such cases, you give the benefit of the doubt by either assuming that it was b'shogeg, it was an accident, or that perhaps even if it was b'mezid, but he already did teshuva. So these are some of the basic yisodos in the idea of dan l'kaf zchus, giving people the benefit of the doubt, combining the mefarshim here in Perek Kinyan Torah with the classical mefarshim earlier in Perkei Avos Perek Aleph. One of the central texts in Shas for this midah of dan l'kaf zchus is the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, and then on Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Bet. In Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara lists this trait among the things which are, according to the statement there, things which our person is ochel peroseihen b'olam hazeh v'hakeren kiyamos olam haba. He can be rewarded in this world. He can get rewarded for that in this world. There's benefits in this world. And that doesn't in any way take away from the fact that he'll also be rewarded in the next world. And initially, six attributes, six behaviors are mentioned, including dan l'kaf zchus. And then the Gemara tries to resolve this with a competing source, and eventually the Gemara concludes that, in fact, being dan l'kaf zchus is something in which a person gets this double reward, and it's part of the larger category, it's a subsidiary of the larger category of hava'as shalom. In what way does dan l'kaf zchus bring peace? So Rashi there on top of Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Bet explains that being dan l'kaf zchus is bichlal hava'as shalom. It's part of a derivative of the larger goal of bringing peace. The mitoch shehu machrio l'zchus, because since you judge people favorably, v'amar, and you say, lo chatali b'zos, anos haya, o latova neskavein, yesh shalom b'nihem. It's referring specifically to situations in which a person may have wronged you, and you can choose to interpret that action in a number of ways. You can choose to interpret it in the most egregious and confrontational and negative way, or you can say maybe it really wasn't bad after all, or if it was bad, but maybe he didn't mean to do it, it was a complete accident, or he was trying to do it, but he meant well, and it didn't work out. If you have any of these alternative interpretations of the action, so then you will keep the relationship, you will keep the peace between you, as opposed to if you assume the worst, if you're done with kav chuva, if you assume the worst of a person, that will lead to a breakdown in the social interactions with people, and hence, if you have dalakav chos that maintains shalom, as the Gemara mentioned. The Sefer Achinuch in Mitzvah Reish Lamed Hei, on the Mitzvah of Tzedek Tishmat Amisecha, explains, as we have already seen alluded to from the Gemara, that Od Yesh Bachal Mitzvah Zu is not just limited to judges, but rather every person should be, quote, judging other people, lakav chos, and we should only interpret their actions in a way that's more positive and more favorable. And the Sefer HaChinuch explains that this will be the reason, liyos ben ha'anashim shalom v'reyus. This behavior, this attitude, if you have it, will actually lead to positive interactions and feelings of peace with other people. So the HaChinuch explains that the ikar of kol kavanas ha-mitzvah, the main goal of this mitzvah, whether it's for the judge or for the layman, is lahoel biyishuv bnei adam im yosher hadin, to make sure that people get along, that society is at peace based on honesty and justice. Ulatet bneihem shalom im siluk hachashad ish beish, because the threat to all of that social order is when people are suspicious and think the worst of each other, and therefore, like Rashi from the Gemara and Shabbos, says the Chinuch, the essence of this Amida is that it will promote peace and harmony and good interactions. Rav Matis Yo Solomon, here in his Sefer Matnos Chaim on the Kinyan Torah, notes that if you look in that section in Sefer Vayikra, the subsequent psukim, he says it's not a coincidence, because they all deal with things which, if you're dalakav schus, you won't necessarily do the right thing. So if you take a look at those psukim tezavav to yutes, you will see that basically what, in essence, the Torah is telling us is that if you're dalakav schus, that will prevent you from gossiping and slandering other people. You won't say rechilos, you won't be over on nekama or netira, you won't take revenge against people, you won't hate them. And on contrary, if you have v'yahap l'reicha kamocha, you'll love them. But the linchpin, it seems like the Torah is hinting at, for all of these things, is dalakav schus, seeing the best in people, giving them the benefit of the doubt. As I mentioned, the Gemara in Shabbos is really a classic discussion of this, and once we turn over the Amud to Amud Bet, the Kochav Zayin Amud Bet, the Gemara tells us three amazing stories of dalakav schus with rabbis, with rabbanim, who each did something that could have been interpreted in a very reasonable way as being wrong. In each of the cases, somebody went out of their way to give them the benefit of the doubt. The first story has to do with Rebbe Elazar ben Hyrcanus, who had hired Rebbe Akiva, who worked for him for 3 years, and at the end of the 3 years, when Rebbe Akiva wanted to get paid, his boss, Rebbe Elazar ben Hyrcanus, said, "I have no money, I have no livestock, I have no land, no pillows, no cushions, nothing to pay you with." And the Gemara explains that Rabbi Akiva was very depressed, but he went home after 3 years, he went home to his family on Erev Yom Kippur. After Sukkot, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus finally traveled to Rabbi Akiva, not only with the money, but with a great suda. And afterwards, when he paid him, he said, "You know, when I gave you all those no's for an answer, what did you suspect me of?" And in each case, Rabbi Akiva describes something that is possible, but not necessarily plausible, for why Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus might not be able to have money or produce or animals or land, etc. at the time. And after he finishes the whole thing, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus responds, "Exactly. In fact, everything you theorized was actually exactly what happened. And that's why I couldn't pay you then, but I can pay you now. Kashem shedanti l'schus, hamakom yadino eschal l'schus. Just like you judge me favorably, so too you should be rewarded. Hamakom yadino eschus, Hashem should reward you, should judge you favorably as well." The next two stories are with other rabbanim, and each one involving an issue of potential sexual immorality. And in both cases, the rabbi in question does something which could have been interpreted that way. And in both cases, the Talmidim, or the people who are with him, actually give him the benefit of the doubt and don't assume he did anything wrong. And in both of those cases, the rabbi says, "Not only did I not do anything wrong, but the very implausible or improbable explanations or theories that you gave for my behavior were in fact exactly what was correct. You were right about all of them. And again, in each of these other two stories, the Gemara concludes the same way, that the rabbi tells his Talmidim, just like you judged me favorably and gave me a benefit of the doubt, you should be rewarded similarly. So two ha'aros on these stories. First, in introducing all three stories, the Gemara says, Hadan chaviro l'kavshus, donin oso l'kavshus. In that introductory statement, it's not clear what the reward will be. It just says, you should be judged favorably. By who? By what? So the Shiltos of Rabbi Chaigon in Shilta Mem is explicit that we're referring to Hashem. Hashem should judge you favorably. And of course, that works well with the Nusach of Hamakom later in the stories that we mentioned. However, the Sfasemes, actually, there in his Perush on the Gemara in Shabbos, has a second opinion that says perhaps we're talking about Bnei Adam done in Gam Oso L'Zchus, Kmo Shehu done Osam L'Zchus. That Mida Kenegin Mida, the Rebbeim, like Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, were telling their Talmidim, just like you gave me the benefit of the doubt, so in your life, other people should give you the benefit of the doubt. But either way, whatever the introductory line of the Gemara is, as we mentioned, in the actual stories, in our version of the Bavli, it says, Hamakom dan oso l'kavzchus. So that's clear that we're talking about Hashem, or there's another girsa, which is in the Tanna de Beilei Uzuta, and also by the Shiltos, which says, Min Hashamayim dan oso l'kavzchus. So those are all quite explicit. But Rav Matisseo Solomon points out that there seems to be a difficulty in this. What does that mean to give someone a promise or a potential reward? Hashem should judge you favorably. Usually when we understand dan l'kavzchus, it's based on a choser yediyah. I don't know definitively what a person did, but I think it's likely that he did something wrong, let's say. So the mitzvah is, dan l'kavzchus, rely on the 20% possibility that he did nothing wrong. Rely on the 50% possibility, or even the 40%, but don't assume that he did something wrong. But it's all predicated on a lack of knowledge. But obviously Hashem has no lack of knowledge, there's no choser yediyah by Hashem. So what does that mean to say Hashem should judge you favorably? Hashem will judge you favorably if you did the right thing. Hashem will judge you unfavorably if you did the wrong thing. But we don't have to, there's no promise of one thing or the other, because there's no lack of knowledge. What does that mean? So Rav Matisseo Solomon suggests, or shares, I should say, an answer from the Maharil Diskin, who says something very beautiful. He says, after 120 years, we'll all get punished, not only for averos that we did, but also we'll get punished for the behavior of other people that they learned from us. If people saw us sin, and they learned that, or they were impacted by our sin, then their sins are also a little bit, unfortunately, on our cheshbon, and we'll get punished. However, says Maharil Diskin, a person may reasonably respond to Hashem and complain that it's not my fault that the person seeing me then copied that bad behavior. That person should have been dan l'kavzchus, interpreted my behavior in a way that was not sinful, and then never sinned on their own, because certainly not based on my behavior, because they could have interpreted my behavior as an innocent action. If they chose to see my behavior in the worst possible light and then copy it, that's not my fault. They should have been dan l'kavzchus. It says, Mariel Diskin, what happens in that case? Hashem says, well, it depends. Let's see how you judged other people. If you judged other people favorably and gave them the benefit of the doubt, then that person should have given you the benefit of the doubt. And since they didn't, you're right, you're off the hook. But if you never judged anyone favorably either, you always assume the worst in others, then they had every right to assume the worst in you, and then their sins are actually on your cheshbon. So Mariel Diskin has an ingenious shot, which actually combines both the two interpretations we saw previously, whether it's a Hashem or people. This combines them, it's referring to both, and also answers this kind of philosophical question. What does that mean that Hashem should dan you l'kavzchus? Says the Maharil, this is what the Rabbanim are telling their Talmidim. Since you have judged me favorably, as a result, when it comes time after 120 years for you to be judged, so you will be judged favorably in the sense that no one else's sins will be accredited to your account, even if people saw you and mistakenly assumed that you did a sin and copied it. Because since you judge other people favorably, people should have judged you favorably, and the fact that they didn't and then copied what they thought was your sin won't be your responsibility. One more point before we come back to the Kinyan Torah, and that is a important idea from the Tomer Dvora of Cordovero. He explains that most of the time we've been speaking about an individual And the question is a particular action, a particular behavior, was it innocent or not? And we're supposed to judge the person favorably. However, there is a second form of dalakaschus, which has nothing to do with the action, but the individual, the totality of the person. Says the Tomer Devorim, Afim Rosh Adam Osalo Ra Umach Iso. Let's say there is no other way to interpret the behavior, it is 100% unquestionably wrong. Nevertheless, says the Tomer Devorim, but if this person, he's not all bad, there are other parts of his personality that are good. Maybe he helps people, does other good things. Oh, mida tova shminahek shura. There's some other thing that he does that's good. You should focus on that, the other good things about the person, and not judge the person in a negative light just because of the bad thing that they're doing to you or just the bad thing that you're witnessing in general, but rather focus on the other good things, and dalakaschus, focus on the good things and not this particular bad thing. And you should say, Dai li betova shiyeshlo. It's sufficient for me, this one thing or these other things I know he does well, I'll judge him in a good light and ignore or interpret the bad thing that I know he's doing now, and I can't pretend otherwise sometimes, but I'll understand it in light of the broader picture. Everyone's a mixed bag, and no one's all bad, and therefore even when you see something that can't be explained away, says the Talmud Zevorah, but instead of just judging the person exclusively on that, give him a more favorable judgment based on other good things that you know. This is also a quip, I think I've heard it in the name of the Ger Rebbe, although I don't know if I've ever seen it in writing, that going back to Perek Aleph Mishnah Vav, he is Medayik, the Lashon there is heavy done, it's called Ha'adam L'Kavschus. Right? If it just meant to focus on an individual behavior and interpret that favorably, it should have said Kol Adam L'Kavschus. But since this Kol Ha'adam, so I've heard it explained in the name of the Ger Rebbe, that this same idea as well. When you're judging a person, don't just look at the individual snapshot in time, a particular action that's in front of you, but judge kol ha'adam, judge the whole person, the whole picture, see other good things that the person has and has done, and have that mitigate against the unquestionably bad thing that you are currently witnessing. So with all of that, we did a little bit of a deep dive, you could say, into dalakaschus. What in the world does this have to do with Kinyan Torah? So one possible answer is what the Chassid Yavetz says. Chassid Yavetz says that this is a continuation from the previous Mida of Nosei Bolim Chaver, of empathy, and the previous Midos as well, and we mentioned in that last Shiur that the Yavetz interprets those Midos, those previous Midos, as being indicators that when you're learning, you're doing it l'shma, you're doing it sincerely, and not because you are trying to lord over other people. Similarly here, what better indication is it that you don't look at yourself as better than other people when you're always assuming the best in others and trying to come up with reasons to defend them, not necessarily to think the worst of them? So the fact that you are, you know, looking for the best in people, it shows that you want and you care about what's best for them, in the sense that you are mechaseh their imperfections and you're megaleh the good things about them, and that shows that you're lishma. And as we mentioned in last week's shiur, the opening Raisa in Perek Kinyan Torah and Perek Vav of Avos indicates that, you know, many, many blessings, including great scholarship, will come to a person who learns Lishma. So this is a litmus test for learning Lishma. A alternative understanding for why this idea of Dalakaschus is in any way connected to Kinyan Torah can be seen in the interpretation here on our Braisa by Rav Yaakov Emdin in the Lechem Shemayim. And he specifically interprets Dalakaschus. I don't believe he's denying its more general and famous interpretation and translation, but specifically in our context, he explains that it refers to when you see someone making not a sin or a general mistake, but specifically a mistake in learning or a mistake in psak, in psikat halacha. Sharo es chavero nitkal bedvar halacha. You shouldn't get all excited and be happy at their mistake, at their downfall. On the contrary, says Rav Yaakov Emdin, on the contrary, you should be dalakaschus, you should try to think, how can I rehabilitate that psak? How can I defend that person's position? How can I better explain his shita, even than maybe he can do himself? So that idea of being able to focus, that is much more connected now, of course, to Kinyan Torah itself. This is the way we learn, this is the way we grapple with opposing positions, is not just being excited when we think we, you know, we found a flaw in them, but on the contrary, constantly working to understand those shitot and put them in the best possible light. I would add that if you have that attitude, you are also clearly l'shma, very similar to the previous interpretation. You're clearly not looking out just for yourself or just to win, because you're trying to help the other positions. But it's also, I think, even intellectually and cognitively, a better way of learning. And will, as we saw in some of the interpretations in the previous year, the more you're thinking about other positions that are not your own and trying to work on them, that will actually strengthen your position in your Kinyan Torah as well. The Chassid Yavetz himself, we had just mentioned what he said here in our Brisa, but if you go actually back to Perek Aleph, Mishnah Vav, there in that original Mishnah, so the Yavetz has a very different interpretation than the one we already mentioned. He says it's referring to people who are mitpalpalim, they are mispalpel, they have pilpul, they are arguing in halacha, v'cholechot soter ta'anot chavero, and each one is contradicting their friend. Right? It's very easy for that joint enterprise in the pursuit of learning to become very personal. You know, every time I try to say something, you disagree with me, you disprove me, you ask questions on me. It can become very personal very quickly if you're not careful. Well, Lizeh is here, and therefore the Mishnah is explaining, Shetadino solakavskos. On the contrary, don't let it get personal. Give the person the benefit of the doubt. Assume ki ein kavanaso levazot da'atcha el mashenira lefi svarato. In fact, don't assume that he's just saying this because he's trying to criticize me or knock me down. Give him the benefit of the doubt. This is what he really believes. This is his true shita. This is his true understanding of the sugya. And therefore, you won't let it get personal or petty. Along these lines as well, the Medrash Shmuel, who actually has four interpretations, but one of his interpretations, I think it's number three, says very similarly as well, Sheyomad Bechevra, when you're learning with other people, then not only should you be Nosei Ba'ol, which we mentioned in the previous year, to try to see things from other people's perspectives, but not only that, Machriyo Lekavzchus, because if you're getting into disagreement with people, then if you don't do that, every time someone disagrees with you or says something that you don't like, Tekef titparet hachavila, he says. The whole chevra, the whole chabura, the whole interaction, the whole relationship will fall apart. And therefore, if you want to maintain the chevra, which is in a very contributing in a positive way towards your learning, then you need to give people the benefit of the doubt and learn how to get along with people and see their best interests and not always assume the worst. That's really, if not identical, but certainly very, very close to, very similar to what the Yavetz says earlier in Perek Aleph. So these are two other interpretations of how Dalakavskos could be understood more closely relating to the specific learning context. Not just the first interpretation that we mentioned, which was just in general, be a good guy, give people the benefit of the doubt, and that indicates what kind of person you are, a sincere l'shma person who will then be rewarded with Torah. But here it has to do with the way you act in the actual learning context, one-on-one or as part of a learning chabura. A very different interpretation here on our Braisa, very different, is offered by the Maharal. The Maharal seems to understand that we're talking about not how you judge a person, which is what we've been seeing until now, either more generally or how you judge people's motives or intentions in the context of learning and debating with them. But says the Maharal, Emro adavar b'chaveiro shi magia l'kaf chova, if you see somebody who is about to do something wrong, mishtadel im chaveiro l'hachriyo oto l'kaf chod. Not that you should just interpret it in a good way, you should try to work with him, try to convince him that he shouldn't do the wrong thing. If you do that, if you help people and you push them to do the right thing, so that shows that you are a good person. And as we saw in the previous year, says the Maharal, the Torah is referred to as good, ki lekach tov nasati lechem, and therefore only if you are tov, only if you are good, are you going to be worthy of Tov, of the Torah. Furthermore, he says, if you are constantly caring about other people and trying to help them not do the wrong thing, but do the right thing, that also shows that you're mitchaber b'chaveiro, and you're mechubar to the klal, ve'enu nifrad mehem. You're part of the klal, and as we've seen from the Maharal numerous times previously, says Maharal, the Torah was given to the klal, and therefore only if you are part of that klal are you worthy of the Torah. Just to conclude, I mentioned that the Medrash Shmuel has a number of interpretations. We've only mentioned one of them until now, but he has three other interpretations. We could kind of call this the miscellaneous Medrash Shmuel interpretations, all three of which are connected to the three other explanations he had given in the previous shiur. So if you have heard or would like to hear that shiur on Nosib Olam Chavero, you will note four different interpretations of the Medrash Shmuel, and they correspond to the ones we've mentioned. We already mentioned one of them, but we'll briefly conclude now by mentioning the three other interpretations here on our Braisa that the Medrash Shmuel interprets. The first one, he says, is that just like he had said previously that you should be Nosei Ba'ol, you should be joining and, so to speak, taking, if you will, half the burden, help somebody else. Lo dai shenosei ba'ol shaveimo. So now we're going further. It's not enough to just share the burden, but rather adraba, hechrios chaver lekavzchus lahakel me'alav hu nosei berov ha'ol uberov atzar. What does that mean? You should take more of the burden. This is quite a demanding Mida, according to this interpretation. I'm not even sure what the exact application or how it would play out, but says the Medrash Shmuel, perhaps this is building on and going further than Nosei Ba'ol. Not only should you share the burden, but you should carry the majority of the burden when you're trying to help somebody else. Another interpretation here that he says that's consistent with something he had said previously, and that is that maybe it relates to the even earlier trait that we've given Shir on, which is you shouldn't be Sameach B'Hora'ah. So you should really try to avoid paskening. Well, as he said previously, if you can't avoid it, no say ba'ol, at least share it with somebody else. Don't just try to paskin by yourself, share it with someone else. And then he adds, what is dama kavzchus, machri lekavzchus, u'kashemer mitchaber emchavero ladun, ose ikar misfarat chavero yoter misfarato. Not only should you have someone else to paskin with, but you should rely more heavily on his interpretation and his opinion and his decision and his psak than you would on your own. Rely more on him. And last but not least, he also explained, really out of the box, that if you have somebody, a friend, a neighbor, a relative, a loved one who has a very bad midot, and you can't, impact and change, inspire them, so Nosei Ba'ol M'Chavero means you should nevertheless suffer that difficult midah. You should carry the burden of that bad midah, just live with it. But now we're saying, Danos HaLakavzchus V'Omer L'Haya B'Libo Rak Tov. Not only should you just accept when the person is obnoxious or thoughtless or et cetera, et cetera, but now we're saying not only should you be willing to accept it and live with it, but rather you should reframe it in your mind in a way that sees all those things that maybe really are bad, but at least he was trying to do good. Try to always find some silver lining or some way to reframe these bad midos which you are suffering with and willing to live with, but more than that, try to interpret them in ways that at least give him the benefit of the doubt that he was trying to do the right thing. So we've seen, just a quick summary, that most of the Mefarshim understand this Midah in the traditional, typical way, that it means generally giving people the benefit of the doubt and judging them favorably. And if that's the case, that's going to be a little bit more of an indirect connection to Kinyan Torah, either because you are showing that you're Lishma by that behavior, or that you're Tov, or that you are Mechubar El HaKlal. Three different possibilities, which are really about you, and then indirectly because you've made yourself the kind of person who's deserving of the Kinyan Torah. But we also saw some interpretations that specifically connected this to the realm of learning, including the need to learn and study with other people and in the Chevra, and when you do that, always trying to see the best in other people's shitos, or even when you're arguing and they seem to be criticizing you, never take it personally, but rather always remind yourself that they mean for the best, and it's all part of the collaborative learning process of a Harusa or of a Chabura, etc. And then we saw two other possibilities broadly. The Maharal, who says this is about Kiruv, if you will, about Hochech Tochiach, if you will, just making sure if you see someone about to sin, they're about to Mechri Al-Chov, you should be then Mechri Al-Skos, try to get them to do the right thing. And then finally, those three interpretations of the Medrash Shmuel connecting either this back to Nosei Ba'ol, not only should you share the burden, but you should take the majority of the burden of your friend, or if you're paskening, not only should you paskin with someone, but give them more authority and give weight more to their opinions than yours. And lastly, if you have somebody who you're close with who has bad midos, not only should you live with them and suffer through them, but you should also try to convince yourself that the person at least means well.